I was thinking before we started speaking that they can either react to it by doing what we're talking about, which is searching and searching and searching and sort of latching on to somebody in a situation and just hoping that it works because they don't want to be alone. Or it can go the other way, which even subconsciously, they don't really attach to somebody, even if they feel like they are attaching. But there's a part of them, and I'll tell you, I've been accused of this. There's a part of them that just won't attach because in their mind, it's got an expiry date. Like it's gonna end. I don't know when, but it's gonna end. So I'm not gonna get too attached.
Absolutely.
It's gonna end.
I can't add anything to what you just said. That's absolutely right. There are those two opposing poles and the dichotomy. So some will not do relationships, will not do dating. It's just the brain, it's too dangerous. They're going to finish with you at some point. I told you, remember what happened back in childhood? No, I don't remember, because the brain doesn't remember all that stuff back there. But that's not true. You don't remember it. Here's mm-hmm. the little, let me show you the little you. You know, that's the little Marcy.
Holding up a little me?
Uh-huh. Even though you don't remember it, hey, guess what? The brain is carrying it in the filing cabinet up here under K, and it remembers the precision of it, but you can't mm-hmm. access it, because what the brain does is to blot it out, because you'll have a nervous breakdown if you carry the stressful, difficult mm-hmm. stuff. So it blots it out. People have different coping strategies. Dissociation, that's a coping strategy for managing.
Right.
And so, yeah, you're trying to avoid being hurt again. That's what it's about. So there are two different things. You either don't do dating and don't do relationships because it's too dangerous, yet you desperately want somebody for yourself, because we're human beings. We were made to be in relationships. If we doubt it, look what COVID lockdown did.
Right. But there's different kinds of relationships.
Oh,
right?
Very
not different. Oh, yeah. Because I don't know that long-term monogamous relationships are for everybody, but I do think connection is good. And I do think people
close partnerships right. talk about being able to interact with other human beings.
Right. I do think people underestimate how much our past affects our present, because I think people are always saying the cliches of like, don't look behind you because you're not going that way. Look forward. It's like, well, you kind of have to look behind sometimes, because it is part of who we are. Our past are part of who we are.
Has shaped who you are today, and you can't entirely. I mean, what you just said reminded me of the fact that it's sort of right. When we're driving a car, the rear view mirror is way smaller than the windscreen.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've got to spend much more time looking in the windscreen going forward. Otherwise, you're going to crash if you're doing your driving through the rear view. So you've got to have some on the shadow, as I call it, but you go forward with your future.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. Now, when we talk about, we'll go back and forth, but when we talk about sex addiction, what I always found really interesting is that it seems like whenever there's a celebrity in the news, whether it's an actor or a politician, and it seems like whenever they get caught cheating, all of a sudden they're off to rehab for sex addiction. And I'm like, is it sex addiction or is it just bad behavior?
So
how common is it?
It's very, very common, but the media stuff over in this country, it's more likely the professional footballer caught once again. And I say, look, that might not be sex addiction at all. Shall I give you the definition that I use?
Sure. Definition?
Let me just read it. So a pattern of sexual behaviors which preoccupy your thoughts and are out of control, you cannot stay stopped for a sustainable period or consistently, and the behaviors have harmful consequences, and the behaviors serve a function in your life, and the behaviors are used primarily to anesthetize some negative feeling state. And what's really important here, the most important part of that criterion, which makes it an addiction rather than a love of sex, is that it serves a function. So if an individual is in a situation where they just can't do access sex, whatever it may be, they may not have any major repercussions from it, bodily or otherwise, because actually they're not addicted. It's not serving a function. It's just they do love sex, but it's not an addiction. An addiction means you're going to have a cold turkey effect if you don't give it what it wants, which is its dopamine fix, because it got used to the physiology of the body over time has actually become use dependent on the dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, norepinephrine mix, and it needs it. So even if you try and do the I'm not doing this anymore, the white knuckle thing, hold on to the chair and I'm not doing this, you'll get so far, but the brain's going to say, give us our fix now. We need our fix now. Give us our fix. No, I'm not doing this anymore. Do you know the problems I caused to my partner? It's just, I'm not doing this anymore. And it's midnight. I can't sleep. Give us our fix. Well, right, I'll just do it again just so I can get to sleep. I've got a busy day tomorrow. So, and then you're back on the loop.
Constantly
going around. It's all about physiology that got changed.
Well, it sounds exactly the opposite of pleasure, because what you said originally was that there's a difference between, right, a love of sex is a love of sex and you're enjoying it. What you're describing is doesn't sound very pleasurable at all. It's pleasure, numbing, right? Didn't you say it's numbing, it's certain feelings
and numbing? Absolutely. Right. Yeah, it's the pleasure is from the chase. Mm. It's not the sex. It's not the orgasm. It's the chase. In other words, it's the anticipation of what's to come, whether it's the sexting, the phone call to set up the appointment, on the porn, the mouse clicking on the page. It's the anticipation. That's where this is so good. That's where you're pumping the dopamine, oxytocin. But the actual sex itself, most of the time for so many people, the actual sex is I call it a wet squid. I do mean it as a pun. It's an anticlimax. Right. And you get, and it's, what was that about? All of that. Mm. No, because you actually had your fix
back before there, that even happened.
Long before that. Yeah.
So is it similar to drugs where you're going to need a sort of a heightened experience to even get that satisfaction? You're going to need to maybe increase the risks around it or something?
You're going to need more time. And more? Yeah, absolutely. Over time, you're going to likely need to do something more. And it's all about whereas it's drugs, you may go for the harder and more, et cetera. With porn, it's the novelty factor or the increased risks or the crossing boundaries, which is keeps the brain interested to keep this pumping. So constantly there's something that's increasing over time. I'm not saying quick. It could be years for some people. But when they look back, they will say, my goodness, I never imagined I would be over here and doing this up to, because of course I'm working with those that we called it the early morning knock at the door from the law enforcement, which because they never would have imagined they would be in this place 5 years on, because the nature of porn is it's not going to stay static in the same usage. You're going to take more risks and boundaries.